Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dacre. We're grateful that you joined us this January the 17th, 2017. In the words of Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, wake up, everybody. It's time to teach a new way. Tonight we'll be discussing our topic, which is what is the dream in 2017? As you know, we normally do, we share with you the background for our radio show. Talk Straight is a online blog radio show where we strive to engage in national dialogue about things that address issues particularly of African-American communities and people in general. We hope to be able to engage you, our listening audience, in productive dialogue, and we seek to be able to get your input as well. The basis of thought is that we learn together, that we have enough knowledge from our experience that we all can grow from that experience. Tonight we do have a participant observer slash guest in the person of Ms. Sharonda Lane. She'll just be joining us for a little while tonight. We are grateful for her. Perhaps from time to time we'll hear from her. But the most important thing is that you, as our listening audience, we want you to engage us, call us here. I noticed that we've had many of our guests who listen in from our Facebook page. Feel free to call in. The number is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. Happy Martin Luther King, I'm going to say, week and the rest of the year. We realize that everyone participated in the festivities on yesterday, and in a large part, this show is a continuation. And my hope is that we will not only do it yesterday, but we will do it for the rest of this year. In fact, the rest of our lives. I'm convinced that we have a lot of good young people who are desperately seeking guidance and information. Having said that, let me begin my monologue here and give you a little backdrop for our dialogue, our conversation. 49 years after the death of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., many African-American youth appeared to have a misconception of what Dr. King stood for. And the latter begs the question, has the meaning of Dr. King's message been distorted in 2017? That's what we aim to talk about tonight. And I want to pose a question to you before I go into the dialogue. A toddler crawled into a room that was full of open paint and paint equipment. Moments later, the toddler's parent came into the room and found that the toddler had made a huge mess. Frustrated, with the mess, the parent reacted. I want us to answer these three questions in relationship to that. Who, what, and how? Who should be held responsible for the mess? What lessons are there for both the parent and the toddler to learn from this experience? And lastly, how should the parent and the toddler move forward from that experience? There is a biblical text that reads in John 8 and 32. Perhaps it will be familiar to many of you. It says simply, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Mao Zedong was the founder of the People's Republic of China. He wrote, "War is the continuation of politics. In this sense, war is politics, and war itself is a political action. Since ancient times, there has never been a war that did not have a political character. However, war has its own particular characteristics, and in this sense, it cannot be equated with politics in general. War is the continuation of politics by other means. When politics develops a certain stage beyond which it cannot proceed by the usual means, war breaks out to sweep the obstacles from the way. When the obstacle is removed and our political aims are attained, then war will stop. Nevertheless, if the obstacle is not completely swept away, the war will have to continue until the aim is completely accomplished. It can therefore be said that politics is war without bloodshed, while war is politics with bloodshed." In 2017, there is an intracultural war, different from inter on the inside of the subculture of African American people, between generations that are born somewhere between 1968 to the present point, and those that were born 1938 to around 1960. The battle is about the social, political, and economic identity as either Negro, Black, colored, or African American, and the rights of citizenship. We are talking about the effects of Dr. King's message, and that can only be summed up in his efforts through the Civil Rights Movement. But let me just share with you a little background on that. The original founders of the Civil Rights Movement overlapped their efforts with the birth of what was known as the Southern Leadership Council, Southern Christian, Leadership Council, that began in 1950. Its founding members included Dr. Martin Luther King himself, a gentleman by the name of C.K. Steele, a Bayard Rustin, Fred Shuttleworth, Joseph Lowry, Ralph Abernathy, and a lady by the name of Ella Baker, who was the longstanding aide and clerk to the movement. The civil rights era was comprised of different interest groups in the 60s, such groups as the National Advancement of Colored People, or NAACP, as well as Students for Nonviolence Coordinating Committee, SNCC, the Black Panther Party, Nation of Islam, the Freedom Riders, also associated with CORE, and as I mentioned earlier, the Southern Christian Leadership Council, along with the Deacons for Defense, just to name a few. All of these existed in the United States in various parts, and their goals that they shared in common were to end racial segregation and discrimination against then called Negro and Black people, and to secure legal recognition and federal protection of their rights of citizenship as promised in the United States Constitution under federal law. Now, the target for these organizations, in one way or another, all were in common as well. But perhaps the strongest and most effective interest group of all of them in the 60s was Southern Christian Leadership Council. Its methods of staging boycotts and other forms of nonviolent protest was considered to be controversial, not only by whites, but by many blacks. Furthermore, many black community leaders believed that segregation should be dealt with and challenged in the courts, and that direct action excited white people to resist, caused them to become hostile and violent. Those leaders during that time, leadership in black communities came from the educated elite community, who tended to be ministers and professionals, teachers, etc. And their jobs were on the line. They were presumed to be able to speak for the interests and on behalf of the laborers and maids and farmhands and the hardworking poor who made up the bulk of the black population, particularly throughout the South. Many of these traditional leaders were uneasy at bringing ordinary, what they might consider to be the lower class blacks, in mass activities such as boycotts and marches, afraid again that they might frustrate and anger those whites who had showed them special privileges. Southern Christian leadership's belief that churches should be involved directly in political activism against social ills became a very, very divisive issue. In fact, many ministers and religious leaders, both black and white, many of them worked together, that the role of the church was to simply engage in spiritual-based needs or things related to the congregation, and perhaps to perform charitable works and aid to needy people. To some of them, the social-political activities that Dr. King and Southern Christian Leadership Council engaged themselves in was too closely associated with what was perceived to be a dangerous radical idealism of the Black Panthers and the Nation of Islam and SNCC and these other people, and they were opposed to it. On the other hand, Dr. King and Southern Christian Leadership Council had criticism from those groups because they believed that they didn't use enough militancy that the younger folk used, such as the Student for Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and CORE, associated with the Freedom Riders. And these people felt like, hey, we have a say and we should be heard. In 2017, if a character poll was taken of the typical young person today, the result would likely indicate that this population or this generation are mystified at best as to what exactly is the message from the civil rights movement and how does it apply with issues of perceived police brutality, issues of poverty, issues of miseducation, poor education, poverty and struggle and things of that nature, and the disunity among Afro-American people. There's a loss in respect and confidence on part of leadership for the elders. And this perhaps may give rise to some of the black-on-black crime and the violence that we see, particularly in predominantly African-American precincts across America. It may explain why we see in the data such a mass exodus from the black church, particularly on part of young people. And it might very well explain why today, as Mai Sei Tong would say, there is a war over what is it the nature of our politics should involve. I'm going to extend myself the pleasure now of introducing our friend and our guest for the time she can be with us, Ms. Sharonda Lane. And we also have with us our regular panel, Pastor Ricky Waller. Ms. Lane, how are you?
Doing good.
Great, great. Thanks for being with us tonight. Pastor Waller, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Mighty fine, mighty fine, mighty fine.
That's good.
Well, the question is, what is the dream? Is it still alive? I think you all heard our monologue. But before either of you respond to that, I want to listen to a message, a clip that I got from Dr. King. My wife and I took our children to Atlanta some years ago, and we purchased some materials down there. This is one of the speeches I think that is very seldomly shared with people, particularly during Martin Luther King celebration. But if you just give me a couple of minutes, let's listen to this for a second. And let's see if we're on track with the dream that Dr. King had. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. The number 657-383-0944. Please do call us and share your comments or questions. Before we went to listen to that piece, I raised a question. Are we on target with the dream? How say you?
You raised the question. Yes, say that again.
Are we on target with Dr. King's dream in 2017?
Well, as a reminder of 2017, I mean, it just came into existence around the time when they talk a lot about him, and that's the time when people have a tendency to join in and be on one accord. But that should become a practice throughout the whole year. You see, when it becomes a practice, it becomes a lifestyle. You know, it's like what it talks about in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13, verse 1. It says, let brotherly love continue. See, if you let brotherly love continue, that means it goes on. It doesn't stop. You know, at one day or one month, a great reminder of how it used to be and how far we've come. In between that, you know, it's been some progress. However, when we first came on air tonight, I noticed this song that I love so dearly. It has to do with Wake Up Everybody. no more sleeping in bed.
Okay.
You know, and when you tell everybody to wake up, I mean, that's important because there's a lot of sleeping going on. What am I talking
right.
about when I talk about sleep? Yeah, so to ask that question and say, are we on the right track, is all about are we awake? Now, if we are awake, then sure enough, we are on the right track. But I can't help but to say about war, what is it good for? You know, and absolutely nothing, see? So it's only
right.
good for the underdog. And when I think about war, I think about my community. I'm not over in Iraq with the thought. I don't know why they are in war, what the purpose of the war is or anything, but I do know that there's a war going on in our own community, man, and that's my greatest concern. So, yes, I would say we're on the right track in 2017 because this is the day that the Lord has made. And he tells us, you know, we have a right to rejoice and be glad in it. And so the last thing I heard about that song, about that particular speech that was played, is that Martin said he was proud of who he was.
Right.
See, when you wake up and acknowledge who you are and become proud, humble, and proud of who you are, then that means God is no respect of person. So we have to learn how to accept that. And, that's what I have to say about that.
So the truth may make us free. Miss Lane, you early in the monologue, I mentioned how even in the 60s, out of a desire to address social ills, there was warring factions or disagreement or dissension among people with good intentions. Do you see that being the case today? And if so, how can we move from that, in your view?
Well, to piggyback off what the other person said, I actually don't feel like we're on the right track because I feel like in this day and age, we need new leaders. Martin Luther King was the leader of his time. And
right.
I feel like, you know, after him and after Malcolm X, the Black Panther movement, we were left behind to lead us.
Wow.
So I don't feel like we're on the right track.
Okay.
And with your other question,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
I
apologize.
Say,
go ahead.
With your other question, it, breaking down to me what your question means exactly in layman's terms.
I'm glad you posed the question back at me, and it was vague intentionally. Are we on track with Dr. King's dream in 2017, or what is the dream? You know, you have various groups in this present day and age. LGBT, Jewish groups, whites and blacks, and various groups that have agendas, political agendas, they tend to use language from the civil rights movement to help define their purpose. But the very people that it was started for get lost in the fray. So the question is, the dream that he talked about in 1963, has it been realized, or are we living a night?
I think it's realized, but it was no guidance for a long period of time, and a lot of people got lost. And I think with the black people, like with those other communities that you name, they focus on one issue. In the black community, it's too many issues. And also sometimes with the different things being religion-based, because it's so many different religions, sometimes we get lost in religion and don't stand behind each other and support each other like the other communities do.
Right, right. I think you raise a great point that the denominationalism within the Christian religion causes many people never to come together in agreement. And interestingly enough, when you look at those various groups back even in the 60s, they all had the same end game, but their means were so different that none of them got there together. Does that make sense to you all?
Yeah, it does. It really does. It makes a lot.
And what's eerie to me is that I see a lot of those elements today. You know, even with we did a show on what it means to be black, and we brought in the founders of Black Lives Matter, three very obviously astute imaginative young ladies who apparently felt like somebody, to your point, Ms. Lane, somebody needs to pick up the ball that's been dropped in terms of important information to this current generation. Somebody needs to articulate what our purpose and our aim is. Now, even with that, different groups have tagged themselves on it and has in many ways misrepresented what perhaps was a honest intention from the get-go, and has given it some negative reflection. But it seems like we are full circle again. I think you're right, Ms. Lane. It's largely because the elders of that time, I mentioned those that were born from 1938 to about 60, for whatever reasons, failed to teach a generation that will be about 30 years old now, between 30 and 49, to the time Dr. King died. They failed to teach that lesson. What is it that we can do today to ensure that moving forward in 2017, those babies that went out and participated in King's celebration, they can get what they need so that we don't drop the ball anymore?
Well, that's a great question, and that's the million-dollar question that we're all trying to figure out. It's like, what can we do to actually make the change? And, I mean, of course, we all want to unite, you know. Mm-hmm. We all want to be on the same accord. We want to build together to build up our communities. But to be honest, I don't know how we can do that. I mean, we can march. We can meet, but until we get people who are financially empowered involved to step up and help, we're gonna always be lost, because a lot of time in our community we do more talking than more action.
Right.
So maybe you all can give me some insight on how you feel like, because I really don't know the answer.
Well, that's what we're gonna do before we leave tonight. You raise a great point, and that's the whole point of our national dialogue is to here's the thing, you raise a great point. People that made money, particularly from some of the poorest black people, are in the entertainment industry, they're in the garment industry, they are in the manufacturing industry, right? And they make money from us, but they tend not to give very much of that back to us. Could it be that we have not positioned ourselves to articulate how and why it's important, if they're going to continue to get monies that we have, that they give back to our communities? But I would submit to you that the first problem is that when it comes to defining our community, it's hard for us to do that too, because you got, again, different individuals with different aims and different motives, and they get lost in the fray. If you just look at some of the elements that we shared in the monologue, clearly there is an issue with what is it that young people are supposed to, what's the lesson or the ball they're supposed to run with? Pastor Wall is an expert basketball player, Ms. Lane, and that's what he did growing up, and baseball player. He would tell you that if you don't have anybody at the bat that can put you on the bases, you'll be there from now until eternity. And one of the first steps is I like what you said about leadership. It's important to understand that leadership is not always micromanaging and telling people what to do, but understanding how to bring people in to use their best qualities. Then you put them on the base.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you hit that ball hard enough and far enough, enough people on loaded bases, bam, we can win this game after a while. What about that, Pastor?
I think that's a great point. And I always have, and, you know, I can always admit that I wasn't always aware of the Word of God. And so you trust your own self, you know you're trusting the fool. So I know what it is to be a fool. I know how it is to teach myself, and because I've done a lot of that, and it didn't matter who the president was or any of that. And see, when you capture the mindset, is focused on what you're captured into when you're very much captured. And I mean, when I say captured by the world's way. And so once I learned, you know, what I was dealing with and how to stay awake, you know, you was asking the question, you know, what should we do? The main thing, right, we have to stay alert. Stay alert at all times, because
okay,
the enemy has a plan.
Hmm.
And there's a kingdom that the enemy has to run.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the new and the upcoming generations in mind. And
okay,
he may not get them all. He may not get them all. But the bottom line, when we stay awake and become aware of the enemy and know that we're not the enemy to one another, but right now we act like it.
Right.
And so,
right,
and so once we learn that, and, you know, the word says it is now high time to awake out of sleep.
Mm.
So it's a possibility that we may be in a deep sleep, and all we need to do is stay awake. As the celebration mm. come, when January hit here, give you a
right.
whole lot of the Martin Luther King clips, and so you can have that emotional feeling, you know, things
mm-hmm.
like that. But I believe he would desire us to do, because he did set the pace,
mm.
you see.
Mm.
And now, since he has done his part, and now it's time for we as a people now to be able to make
okay.
a stand. And again, staying awake is very important.
That
I mean, what
powerful.
I mean by what do I mean by staying awake? One day I took a hit of heroin,
mm.
and I immediately went to sleep. For
mm-hmm.
20 years of my life, I went to sleep. Now, I'm just worn out of probably a minute that went to sleep. So in our
okay.
community, there's a chemical that's controlling us, capturing
mm.
us, and it's causing us to do very much harm to one another. And
okay.
then, you know, things like that. See, if we're not aware of that, then it will continue. They're waiting on another generation to do the same thing, and that's what we have passed down to them. And thank
I
God
see.
For those that are doing something positive and was able
okay.
to escape the you know, because, you know, it's a trap. And,
okay.
You know, what do you do about it? That's what you're saying. Stay alert, stay awake, and move forward. You know, you say, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing. Not everybody know him. I mean, come on now.
Right.
Let's be honest. Right. That when you're in that hustle bustle game,
mm.
man, that's the farthest from a person's mind, man. And when they're honest, you don't play like you know God. See, when you're out there doing what you're doing, you don't play like you know God. You just go for what you know. And when you know God, you don't play like you didn't know him. You know what I mean? And so it's pretty touching. And the sister
yeah.
said it earlier about all the traditions and, you know, all the religions that people have and how you can break, but you're still a black man and a woman.
Mm.
You know, when you're somebody, that's what we have to deal with. We're black and we have to deal with it.
Miss Lane, we'll have to go in a little bit. I'm not sure how soon, but before she leaves, mm-hmm. I do want to bring her in because she asked a relevant question. How? What is
uh-huh.
it that we need to, and how do we go about doing it? I'd like to try to address that. But let me get this message, this commercial message in, and on the other side of this commercial break, I want to address that for listening audience. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We have on with us our regular panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller, and tonight our very special guest is Miss Sharonda Lane. I want to make sure I don't want no whooping, Miss Lane. Sharonda Lane, we're grateful that she's joined us tonight and contributing with us. The number 657-383-0944. Please call. We want to hear your comments and your questions. You know you can archive the show and listen later. Send me a text or an email, and we'll be happy to respond accordingly and give you whatever information we need. But on the other side of this message, we'll be right back.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I lived to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
Reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And again, we have tonight with us Ms. Sharonda Lane and our regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. Number is 657-383-0944. And on the other side of the commercial, we were talking about, we want to respond to a question raised relative to what do we do and how do we go about doing it. The character Pookie that you heard about in our advertisement is real. There are a lot of young people in particular. We have young ladies who are at risk as well. But more specifically, there are young men who, many of them walk through life day by day at a very early age, wondering if they'll live to see tomorrow. And their focus is on survival. Not necessarily living, trying to live out some dream of Dr. King or anybody else, but just trying to live the next day. And that puts them in a very precarious situation, oftentimes causing them to be very volatile and dangerous, not only for other people, but for themselves. What is it that we do? It's so important that we are focused and deliberate in the aim of addressing this issue. If you're not, you allow a whole lot of cooks into your kitchen and your soup won't come out to be nothing. What do I mean by that? The situation will arise where everybody's putting input, but nobody's focused on achieving a specified goal in a timely fashion or manner. If you let a young man get to be too old, and he runs out of the opportunity for him to change himself, and he gets caught up in his own game that he either dies or becomes incarcerated, there's very little you can do at that point. So at a very young age, starting in elementary school, particularly Afro-American males have to be deliberate about saying in churches, social organizations, or just grassroots-level activity, we're going to catch our young men, and we're going to love them and let them know that you're more than someone who can survive the streets. And then we have to teach them from the history of our past, from our ancestors and examples, of what it is to be a man and how it is to go about developing your character establishing a sense of heritage and a sense of purpose. In doing so, we're able to reverse the curse that we've experienced as a subgroup of people. Now, I noticed that the song, that was a group out of Chicago that made this song Hero, they posed the question, where do we find them? Is that a myth that there is someone that can bring us about the instruction and the example that will turn this around? Do you think that's impossible, Ms. Lane, or is there hope?
Well, I believe in keeping hope alive, so I'm going to say there's hope. You know, but like I said before, we just, you know, we need leaders to go into the communities and things like the field that I'm in, nonprofits, to go into the communities and, like you said, grab them while they're young and teach them, you know, because it is a mental thing. You know, we have to retrain the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to teach them to also be strong, because a lot of the, how can I say it, like with the TV, with the social media and everything like that, a lot of negative things are being promoted instead of positive things. And to teach them
that's
to keep us in the same position that we're in. So I just think that, yes, we need to teach our youth also who we were before we were slaves, so they'll know that where we come from. That we were kings and queens at one time. A lot of people, you'd be surprised, don't even know their own history. You know, their history, and go back into the community with leaders, working with the young future leaders to rebuild and buy back our communities.
You know, that's interesting you say that, because often I hear people conflate being aware of your history and heritage with being prejudice. There's nothing wrong with you loving yourself while showing respect and appreciation for other people. You follow what I'm saying?
I understand that.
And, and I think that's where people become afraid to say that I want to identify who I am and from whence I come. You know, when we talk about education, at the preface of the word is to educe, to bring out that which is in. But if you don't, from birth, put instill a sense of heritage and identity in a child, when they get to be of age where society expects them to know that, how are they to know that? It's very similar to the story about the toddler that went into the open room. Well, all of the ingredients were there for a mess, and the child had no clue that he was being set up.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent have no reason to be frustrated, did they? And this goes to your point, Ms. Lane, because there have not been enough pro-social instruction from those who live through the civil rights experience and beyond. This generation and this current group have no context for what really it was that the King or anybody else, for that matter, were aiming at.
Exactly.
But we have an opportunity in front of us. I'm sorry, Pat, it sounded like you wanted to say something there.
No, well, Ms. Lane is right on target. You know, we have to reach out, and that is very highly important, man, because, you know, when you don't know, I mean, you don't know, and you're out there crying for information. It's like somebody bring the solution to us out here. And, you know, you get out of the, you know, we know what the problem is. What about the solution? Do we know what that is? Okay, the solution is necessary, because when you look back over it, I used to hear it years ago about the devil and how he rolled. You say the devil can go about like a lion, seeking who he may devour. And that means we're given permission. So the young, you know, with everything they have before them, they're giving the devil permission to devour them. And it's like, you know, what do you do when they give him permission? And it's just like, you know, the power of darkness falls upon a person, man. And, you know, you were sharing with Ms. Lane about how athletic that I was, as well as I am today, still, you know, have a heart for sports. And I thank God, because I did see it in the Bible, about athletics. And so it is it's highly important, man, that the gifts and the talent that we have in many areas, not just basketball or football or baseball or what have you, but in other areas, I mean, to be able to become, you know, anything that you desire to be in a positive realm. But how do we get that type of information out there that they would embrace it, you see, where it have power on it? And that's what they really deserve. I don't say that you just need it. They deserve it. You know, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. You know, I mean, I had people who were before me that was talking really positive about me going further. And but I watched what they were doing, and it seemed more attractive, man. I mean, it had more power. They was telling me not to do what they were doing, but they weren't living by a good example. They meant well. But the example that they set, man, I mean, it was like, no, I got to do what they're doing because what they're doing seemed to be a lot better. Well, you know, I didn't know any better and got captured, taking one hit for 20 years of my life. I was captured, man. And I'm just grateful to be free because you said in the book of John, and you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. And that's what we deserve. Yeah. We deserve to be free. We shouldn't be in bondage, in captivity in 2017.
Wow.
We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be.
So Ms. Lane, it sound like the preacher, the politician, the teacher, the social worker, they got to tell you the truth first.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the only thing going to make you free.
Yeah, we need it, man.
If you don't come straight and how they say keep it 100, I ain't going to get it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, y'all. Right. Excuse me. I'm getting happy now. I ain't going to get it. I wanted to tell y'all, but if I might take the privilege of sharing a personal story. You know, we grew up in the housing project of Chicago, and my mom had 12 children. When she and my dad separated, there she was trying to manage us all by herself. You know, she went back, got her GED, and then got a associate degree and stayed in school, got a bachelor's degree and got a master's degree in counseling. And all of that was in exchange for not really being with us at home like she wanted to. But she felt like if I do this, it will improve the quality of life for my children. In many ways it did. But some of us got through the crack. Some of us fell through the crack. That's what I'm trying to say. Make a long story short, Miss Lane, I decided I'm going to go to school and I'm a clown. I'm going to cut the monkey. Mm-hmm. And every time I did, they had to call her there, and that would take her from work or from school. And it got to be cumbersome. One of the principals, a little short black man, said, you know what? I ain't going to call your mama today. He grabbed me by the collar, and I went airborne. Next thing I fled up against the wall like a pancake. He said, I'm going to whip your blank myself today. But do you know I appreciate that?
Yes, sir.
Because he told me the truth.
Right.
He told me, and the truth was, every time I call your mama, I'm hurting you because you think you're manipulating your mama and me. We're going to break that today. But there needs to be a therapeutic process by which when young cats are in the street trying to promote or show themselves as being somebody, we can give them credit for wanting to be somebody, but at the same time, we got to tell them the truth. We got to keep it 100 with them. Is there anything wrong with that, Ms. Lane? Is there anything wrong with that?
No, that's what people want and respect when you keep it real with them. Do feel like, you know, people of your, so like you, believers like you and the pastor on the phone, you know, you can't fear the new generation, you know, with the pants sagging and that, because that's our future leader. So, yeah, and the way that they come up, they want the truth. They want what's real. Anything fake is going to make them not listen to you, not believe in you. You know, it's the generation of keep it real. So you definitely have to keep it real with them for them to even listen to you.
That's right.
Right.
I got another caller from 615-866-7915. Good evening. How you doing?
Good morning, sir.
Hey,
morning,
what
you doing?
Say about it?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
all right. That was one of our previous guests, Brother Clark. We're talking about tonight and to the listening audience, what is the dream of Dr. King in 2017? Are we off the mark? What are we doing? And Casey, what we've been talking to with our special guest tonight, Ms. Lane, Ms. Sharonda Lane, is how she asked a good question. What do we need to do and how do we go about doing it? One thing we just discovered is we can't be afraid to tell the truth to our babies about where they are and where they need to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when the
that's
wrong
right.
people are scared, the children will take over and make a mess in the house.
Right. That's right. That's the truth.
So now, Miss Lane, I'm gonna tell you something. Some people are afraid that you're not going to be politically correct when you tell the truth. And I wonder if that is one of the barriers that keep us from really getting where we need to be in 2017.
Well, I mean, look at the perfect example. Look at Trump.
Uh-oh.
He got into the office by everything wasn't factual, but by putting on a persona that he knows what he's talking about and he's not afraid to speak the truth.
Right.
I feel like
right.
that's how he got in office. So, yes, you have to, you sure, can't
amen.
Be afraid of the truth.
Amen.
Right.
One
thing
that's
about
what we've been
it is,
need.
One thing about it is he, I don't think he really had all answers himself, but he was clever enough to surround himself with people who knew something about what he was talking about, and it made him
right.
look good.
And then he was also
you know?
Not afraid to say the things that other people were just thinking.
Absolutely.
You know, he wasn't
that's
afraid
true.
To say those things that people wanted, some people wanted to hear.
Right,
right. And so today, I think it's so important that we are, you know, we're honest enough with ourselves to say we got a problem, okay? And it's not about anybody else but us solving our problem at the end of the day. And if we're not honest enough to say I got this problem, it's hard for us to start solving. And when we think about how or what it is, the reality is what we've been doing has not served us very well. And I'm talking about within the last 60 years. It ain't served
mm-hmm.
us too well. So something about that we need to change. Pastor Waller, I wonder if even in the church, if there's something else. I'm not saying nobody's doing anything. I don't want to give that impression. But I wonder, even in the church, if there's something else that we haven't done that we ought to try relative to what Ms. Lane was saying about reaching our young people and being totally transparent and open and honest with them about what it is we want from them. I mean, if they come into church, they need to understand that you're coming in to change, not to keep doing what you've been doing. Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, you might stay out on the street and do that.
Yep. It's a very good point. And, you know, that's it. You come into the church, you know, expecting to change, and that's the way I believe a lot of them would do. They would come up in the church expecting to change. However, I found out while being in the church that I saw a word in there that says, go out on the street corner.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, saw that in the book. The Bible. You know, yeah. You know, they call it highways and byways, but he made it plain to say go out on the street corners. You know, and when he said go out on the street corners, I said, okay, I understand why he would tell it to me, but still, I didn't have a Bible when I went in church, but other people did.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see those people on the street, you see. But when he told me to go to the streets, I knew then that he was letting me know you're from the streets, go back to the streets. And I didn't feel what I came from and where I came from and who I was around. I went right back to the street because that's what the Word of God said. And, you know, and I think it's important, man. And once the churches start to do that, it will make a difference. I mean, you never know until you try it.
Yeah.
If they're not doing it and they go out and try it, I mean, they'll find out whether it's working or not. But it's something they're trying out, basically. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. I was going to ask Casey, do you have to have a doctorate degree, Casey, to go out to the street?
No, sir. You have to practice what you get.
Oh, my.
Say that again, Casey.
You don't have to have no doctorate. You need to stand up. We live in the world of cowards nowadays. All the cowards do is get you killed. First of all, we're sad and even worse about it. We're smart enough to know where the problem is at.
Uh-huh.
Hey, who can tell you that over 6 years old can't tell you what other medicine junk going on nowadays, smart as we are? We live in one of the most smartest countries in the world. But we're supposed to make more excuses than anybody.
Mm.
We live in Nashville, right? Bible Belt.
Okay.
You know what they say?
Right.
They every time I bring and mention coming together, they make it seem as though I'm the bad guy.
Mm.
We can do anything if we come together.
Okay.
Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. We can take on any situation if we would come together, but they want to go together. Everybody go their different separate ways and think there's something coming out of it. Why continue doing the same thing?
Yeah.
It's 0-17.
Well, now,
I got a third day of thinking. Go ahead.
I was going to say that's kind of in line with what we started off the show with, Casey. In the 60s, there were at least 7 or 8 different little interest groups or organizations that were trying to deal with poverty, that was trying to deal with oppression, discrimination, and all of them were in their corners, but nobody was unified. You said coming together. If you come together and you bring your mess with you, and you don't purge yourself first at the door, are we going to have a problem?
Yes. Because everybody thinks they're right.
There you go.
Humble yourself and follow a leader. That's all
right.
I think.
So
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so one of the first steps is agreeing on what is sound and profitable for us culturally. In other words, and I've said this, Lane, and I've been pastoring now almost 20 years. Maybe what we need to do is to close the Holy Bible. Don't throw it away. And if you want to put a bookmark on the page you were reading, that's good. But sit it down to the side for a minute, and let's have an honest conversation about what we can agree on that we need to do for our people. Maybe that's a good step. Does anybody
agree with that?
Go ahead, Ms.
I think that's exactly what you know has to happen. And I do understand that all of you all are pastors on the line, but I think sometimes religion can keep us separated. Like what if someone's a Muslim? You know, they can't you don't want to come together with them because they're Muslim, and it feels like, okay, so Muslims over here, Christians over here, you know, whatever's over here. But we all black, so just like you said, we're gonna always keep God in it, but let's put the actual religion behind for a second and focus on being black, so that we all can come together.
Because that's what we are. We're black when we get finished with all the religion, and we talk about anyway. You know, and I always the Muslims they're part of what I do out there. I mean, we post up together, and you know, we hit the streets and things like that. And I appreciate them for what they. Understand about the work that I do out in the streets. I mean, they see me out there, and you know, and they're willing to do whatever they can to assist. And I think I do likewise. And that's a great point that you're making. And once we realize that and how important it is, that's where we stand. You know, together we will stand. But together we are definitely going to fall. It's no question. It's evident now of what division brings forth. And you know, and being rooted in the street life, you know, like I was. I didn't even have a desire to even come into the church because I felt out of place, you know.
Right.
And, you know, and I found out that God will reach a person, you know, right where he is. And just so happened I was on the street corner when I was reminded about making and putting effort to come to him. And it's amazing, man, what God would do when a person step outside the church. You know, and that's what this man did. This man stepped outside the church, the pastor of the church that I attend. Had it not been for him stepping out out of the church, I may have been, you know, still on the streets or gone or whichever one it may have been. But thank God that he came out of the building and said
right.
something encouraging to a lost man. And once he did that, you know, he planted a seed because the word says you reap what you sow. And that man planted a seed in me that I couldn't shake. You know,
that's
my life
right.
went out of control and years went by. And finally, I thought about what he said and I decided to take and make a visit. And I passed every church I seen, man, on the way to him. I was on 16th and Joe Johnson in Nashville. And I didn't stop until I got to 43rd, which is where the pastor was who planted this seed in my life. And sure enough, through the process, I changed, man. You know, and I just give him his props. I have to give him his props because he deserved it. You know, he stepped out. He didn't care about what I was out there doing and what location I was in. He just saw a lost man standing on the corner every time he come from the church or just passing through. He's the same man standing on the corner, and I'm corrupting my community. And he's bold enough to say something to me. Yes, he
right.
was. Yes,
well, now,
was.
You know, since we're talking straight, let's identify the other great divider of Negro, Black, and colored folk, and that being being a part of one political party, the Democrats or Republicans. You all know I ran for office, and I was talking to some young guys on the street, and they summed it up like this. The Reds are like the Bloods, and the Blues are like the Crips. And so what they were saying to me is if respected elected officials can get caught up in divisiveness about what set you're with or what party you're with, why should we be able to identify ourselves in the slanging and the banging that we do? Because we're just getting it the way we live. Now, and that was a tenable argument. Now, I understand that the premise that they started on was wrong. Okay, but that made a lot of sense, Casey. If the grown folks are in a divisive posture and stance, is that not the example that the young people have?
That's right.
Yes, there's no unity.
Go ahead.
Without change, it's too late and over with. I've been speaking on that for years now. And you have to prove me wrong. That means somebody needs to do something.
Well, you're right about that.
Yeah.
You might
have to do something different.
Right. Without change. Without change.
That's right.
I, you know, it's clear to me that maybe what we need to do is to sit the Bible down and at the same time sit the Democratic and Republican platform down, too, and have an honest conversation with one another. What do we need?
There you go.
And Sister Lane was about to say something as well, Pastor. I wanted to make sure I get a chance to hear what she's going to say, because what you and Casey said is right on target. Sister Lane, we need to hear what she was getting ready to say, if you will.
Yes, well, I was just basically agreeing with what she said, is that, you know, it's always two people against each other, two parties against each other, the police against the community. You know, it just... Everyone needs to unite. Like, if we're trying to be one America, one USA, why should we have a Republican and Democratic Party?
Amen.
Uh-oh.
You do away with the parties. You know, if you're asking everyone to unite, you know, you have to do it all the way around the board. So I agree with you on that, with the young man who broke that down to you. You know, everything is a fight. It's always a side you have to pick. Why does it have to be a side to pick?
That's so true.
That's great, Pastor. And she said it plain just right there. Now, the only way that's going to happen, because those guys were speaking truth. That was their truth,
so
they was honest about where they were. They was not pretending or sugarcoating and everything. They was only going through what they knew. And they say, well, the Democrats and the Republicans look at what and how they're feuding one another. So what is the difference between the Bloods and the Crips? And that's what, you know, that's what they're living in. So when you're living a lifestyle, that's what you perform.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
I see that when I look at a lot of your leaders. They act just like gangs.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. If anybody can't get together this day and time, I don't have time to even fool with them because you're not real. Because there's nothing hard to get come together. They make it seem like it's complicated to come together. Right. Okay,
no, not at all,
man. Do it tomorrow.
Now,
yes.
Okay.
Yes,
okay,
glad we
okay,
need
guys.
This.
Y'all got me on the cross now. Let me come down. Help me down, man. Help me.
Okay.
I want to come on down off the cross now. What's
okay.
the first? You know, hit me upside the head now. This is important information. It's so important, though, we share this in such, I don't mean be passive and act like a chump, but we do have to be loving when we come and understanding
Definitely.
When we tell those in positionship, in position of leadership as pastors or politicians or in other organizations, listen, we're going to sit certain things down right now, and we're just going to put all our goods on the table, and let's just process through everything on the table and see what is
uh-huh.
best for everybody. If you can't do that, then... Huh?
You know, real quick, if I go bear hunting and don't know what a bear looks like, who's probably going to win the war? Well, how can you... How can we do something when we don't even know... We don't even know where to go to. What good is that? I'm going to try to get to Russia on a bicycle. Life is so simple.
Right.
You know, it could be. It could be. I don't want to find the bear. I can use that excuse to go hunting. Y'all go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, so we're getting to how and what, right? There. So already I got three things. One. We need to be willing to tell and accept the truth.
Okay.
Two, we need to unpack our bags, just dump everything on the ground in our bags
mm-hmm.
and start fresh. And then third, we need to be unified in agreement that, hey, this is what we're going to do for everybody.
No unification, no future. No future.
So,
and then also you have to be able to offer something. Like if you're going to tell somebody to get off the corner, to not sell drugs that's feeding their family, it has to be a solution to offer. Like, okay, this is why this will benefit you, because if you don't do that, you can do this. You know, it has to be, you know, something that we're giving as well. And that's the same with anything, like, you know, well, asking people to unite, you know, unite for what?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen when we unite? You know, we unite in marches and nothing happens. We unite after a police shooting and nothing happens. So that's what people lose hope, and they're like, just forget it, you know. So I think we need to find some solutions and, you know, some benefits for the people and show some change, you know, before we can go to Congress or anywhere else, you know, we have to unite and know,
so
you know, because that's how it's going to change, is to change the law.
Sure. Casey, so you said,
mm-hmm.
like, before I open my big fat mouth, I need to know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Know what you're talking about, yeah, for sure.
A lot of sense you said that.
I'm sorry, Kay. Go ahead, Kay.
Well, you wonder why people don't vote anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because what are we getting out of it? Why waste time with that? That's why people don't vote, America.
Yeah.
We're not going to take it no more. We're sick of the lies and all the promises. We're sick of this. You're going to show us to prove yourself.
Right. And I have actually had a mother who lost a son to say to me, I don't want to give another dime in the offering plate unless you can tell me how to keep my other children safe.
Wow.
You know, that was a legitimate cry, and it was incumbent upon me to take that seriously. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, Casey, you're right. On both ends, you know, that's funny because we learn about tithing from the Bible, right? And we get taxed in the government. Tithing is supposed to make sure that there's something for you in a tight spot in the house of God. And taxing is supposed to make sure that the government look out for you in a tight spot in the government or the country you live in. We've been taxed and tithed, but we still ain't got no nothing in return. People
right.
ready to go to war.
All right, well, I have to get off now. I have to go to my full-time
okay.
job of being a mother. My kids
yes.
are looking at me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining
really,
us.
I did too, and I really enjoyed the conversation. And you said that I can tune in later.
Listen to
what y'all talked about when I was gone. So if y'all
Absolutely.
Could, you know, come together and think of some ways
okay.
that we can unite the people together.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm interested in that, and also interested in being a part of it.
All right. Well, thank you so
appreciate
much for joining us, and we'll be in touch with you.
Okay.
Appreciate
All right.
You,
have a
plan.
Good evening.
All right. Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. So, Casey and Pastor, it sounds like to me that there's a unique opportunity that somehow we've been missing out on. And maybe that's why the babies don't understand what Dr. King and others were trying to say back in the day.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, gentlemen, our egos get in the way.
Oh, definitely.
Because we don't, huh?
You're right.
Because we don't want to be wrong. And we don't yeah. want to assume that we've lived all these years of life and missed the mark.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something?
So we'll put up a wall against anybody who comes to pull the cover off of what I'm talking about doctrine now, what I haven't done right.
Yeah.
And you said this, you said this many times, Casey. You can't make forward progress unless you're willing to recognize that you've got to go in the right direction.
That's right.
That's it.
You got to do
it. That's right. And love means humble yourself, don't you? That means you don't mind listening to somebody and following somebody,
right.
amen?
Amen?
See, that's our problem right there. All three of us can't lead at one time.
Right.
We have to be humble enough to come together, love one another enough, trust one another, and say, sir, you lead, we're following. We are now one. If you can't come together, be in an order, you are wasting your time and everybody else.
Everybody
and that's
else.
That's the devil that is coming to us. As a race.
Right.
We don't want to follow anymore.
Hmm.
Education
hmm.
might have been one of the worst things that happened from all.
Wait a minute, Casey. Wait a minute. Listen, let me go to a brief message. And on the other side, Casey,
right.
I want to speak to the youth. You said something key about education. But Sister Lane has got me, I think I'm almost off the cross, but she still got me on there. Look, she done backed me up a little bit there, Pasquale. So I want to see if I can lay out a tenable step-by-step process that we can use that would improve the overall conditioning. And it will involve church, it will involve education, Casey, it will even involve our subculture and our way of life there. So on the other side of this break, you listen to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. You can give us a call here. We still got about 15 minutes, 657. 383-0944. We appreciate you. We'll be right back after this message.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Ruben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
You know why I can't give up on you, man?
What's that?
You know why I can't give up on you? Because I love you too much. I love you
too much.
See? I would walk away from you if I didn't love you, man.
Yeah, yeah, that is. That makes sense,
all
right.
All the stuff, Pastor Wally, you done put me through, man, ups and downs, dude, hiccups and headaches, I'd walk away from you if I didn't care about you.
That's all. It would be better for both of us than to step back and just keep hindering each other. Amen.
Y'all listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery, and we were honored to have Ms. Sharonda Lane as our guest, and we are grateful for the time she can be with us. We have with us our good friend, Brother Casey Clark, out of Murphy's Church, and out of Nashville, Tennessee,
right,
Pastor Vicki Waller. We got about 12 minutes, John. We got about 12 minutes, and I'd be in trouble if I didn't offer a three-step process, things that we can do starting today. Casey, when we started the show, we talked about how since Martin Luther King's birthday was a formal holiday, people have been engaging in parades and marches and what have you. And it looked like they marched, but they didn't go nowhere.
Thank you.
I say that with all due respect. I know I've been in Nashville now going on 30 years, and I've been observing the King March here since I've been here, and I still ain't seen where folk wind up yet. So I feel obligated to offer a process this 2017 so that we can identify what the dream is. First of all, let's operate in reality, okay? I love the dream. I love the dream, but right now we need something real, and I need to keep it real. So let me offer this, and then y'all correct me where I'm wrong, okay? And the number is 657-383-0944. If you're listening, you hear me say something wrong, give me a call and let me know. Number one, Casey, there needs to be a specified aim for teaching our children and what we expect them to learn. And everybody ain't got no business teaching them. Okay. Now, number two, what needs to happen is we need to understand what is our way of life, what is the best thing that has worked for our way of life, such that we can identify best practices, good and profitable things for the young and the old, and that would be the basis of unifying us. It's all right with being friends with everybody else, but you got to first be a friend with yourself.
Amen.
All right. And lastly, number three, starting 2017, what I propose every church, every synagogue, every mosque need to come together and understand that whatever your faith base is, whatever your sacred book of writings is, whatever your spiritual guidance, it ought to lead us all in the same path of truth. Because if you know the truth, it'll make you free.
Yeah.
Now that truth ought to make us free spiritually and politically. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let me say that one more time. And I'm going to back up with y'all correct me when I'm wrong. Now, Casey, Pastor Waller, I said you need to be in a situation where, regardless of what your religious tenets or principles are, the truth will bring us all together and send us in a path spiritually and politically so that we can change the social economic condition of our people. Two.
Yes.
We need to encourage cultural identity and unity among one another, such that whatever the best things that we've done as a people, we can continue that and teach that to our children and their families and their neighborhoods and their communities. And number three, we need to make sure that we have a focused aim for learning and teaching, and that everybody ain't putting stuff in your children's head. Now, y'all correct
right.
Where have I gone wrong, Joe?
You also have to have an audience that want it.
Uh-huh.
You know what?
Uh-huh.
We got to take our street back. No, we got to take our home back.
Uh-oh.
It starts at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It starts at home.
Yeah.
It starts with setting our home up.
Right.
Because the world is looking for something.
Sure.
You got to have something for them.
Right.
You know? They hear all this good talk all the time. No. Talking day is over. It's time for action.
It's action time. Pastor Waller, where did I go wrong?
Yeah, you can't go wrong right there because, you know, you have to be prepared for truth. You know, everything that you've been talking about is talking about truth, man. And when you're dealing with truth, that's the only thing that's gonna make a person free. You know, we have
that's
to
right
deal with truth. You
that's
know,
right.
And that's you're dealing with truth. And then
but,
when you're dealing
but
what
with if
truth,
what if you tell
cool
me the truth and it hurt my feelings?
Yeah, but that's all right. See, the truth does hurt. You didn't say the truth was gonna feel good. You know, in order to feel in the beginning, the truth don't feel good. But when you tell it, you start to appreciate it. You know? You start to appreciate it. Once you get enough of the truth in you, you know, you start to appreciate it.
Because you'll get used to it.
Right,
huh?
Right. So you're saying the truth may taste bitter to my mouth, but it'll sure make my belly feel better, huh?
But it's so good. It ain't going to hurt you at all. I think once you start to appreciate the truth, it doesn't take anything from you.
I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Huh?
I cut you off. Finish your thought.
No, actually, the truth has a lot of good in it, you know, and it helps a lot.
Right.
Yeah, it does. It helps a lot, man.
Casey said
everything you deserve.
Casey said something early. He said that, I'm going to make it personal, Casey, I have got to want to change.
I've got to what?
I said I'm going to make it personal. I was going to say you, but I'm going to make it personal, Casey. I have got to want to change. That's what Casey said earlier. If the truth is going to work for me, I've got to want to change because it's going to hurt sometimes. It's going to hurt sometimes.
That's right. That's right.
And it's going to make me uncomfortable.
Exactly. Because it's good for you. See, when it's good for you, it makes you uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah.
If you do, if you're doing the same thing today you were doing in 1971, you're still in 1971.
Wow.
Not 17.
Wow.
That's what people, you know, they don't understand. If you're doing the same thing, that's not, look in the dictionary. Same thing does not mean change.
Right.
It does.
Right. Right. Right.
You know what I heard? And I've had a lot of kids. Y'all talk to a lot of kids in different churches. My players, they said, I don't like going to church because I already know what they're going to do. I'm sick and tired of the same old thing every Sunday.
Wow.
These kids will talk to you if they trust you. And they will be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
The same old program won't work nowadays, you all.
Right.
But they're not seeing nothing come out of it. They got to see something coming out of it.
Because they're not seeing nothing come out of it.
So that's our work, gentlemen. That's our work. Tonight,
that's right.
The dream is what we make out of it. We got to make the dream a reality.
Amen.
And
you got to do it.
And that means we got to put work in. That means we got to put work in.
Uh-huh.
We got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, without a doubt.
We got about 3 minutes. Pastor Wallace, wrap us up, and then we'll hear from Casey, and then we'll get on out of here, man.
Yeah, well, you know, I like to always think about what we talked about from the beginning about what the, you know, it made a lot of sense. You know, wake up, you know, everybody, and it's important. You know, if we don't wake up, then the solution cannot be put in motion. You know, it'll always be talked about. You know, the problem would be constantly talked about. Something that you can't change, you still talk about it. But what can be changed will only change when you wake up.
Amen.
You know, and that's what I like to believe. You know what I mean? It's important. Life has too much to offer to keep a person asleep. So, in other words, how do you manage to get through all of this? The world has thrown up, you know, for people to fall asleep and stay asleep.
My Lord.
And I think they've done a fine job at it. You see, so you know, I just appreciate you know. Being able to have the faith, you know, take but a small amount of faith to wake up, you know.
Right.
And, you know, the main thing is, I'm going to say this, I'm going to turn it over. You know, when he said it is high time to awake out of sleep, that means that this is what time it is. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Casey, give me something I can hold on to. Give me something I can hold on to, Casey.
God has got to be a good God because if I was God, I'd have been through with him. Because I'd be sick and tired of lying on me. Lying in the name of me. The world would have been in years ago, y'all.
Right.
Except for that. Because I don't. Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. A lot of people got to go out and say, yeah, I've been knowing Terry Clark. You don't know me, you know of me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The devil,
okay.
We can say we know Elvis, yeah, because he's singing and because he's a star, but we don't know him personally. That's a big difference.
That's right. Big difference.
You know?
Major difference.
You know?
Okay.
Now, to preach on Friday, I'm gonna, let me leave y'all this. Don't you never think having a big giant wedding put a ring on somebody's finger mean you're married. Marriage
right.
is like religion. It has to be inside of you, people. Marriage
right.
is a religion. Is a, if it's not in you, it sure won't show out of you.
Mm. That's right.
Talk to me.
That's right.
I can get you out of the ditch, but guess what? You got to have enough sense to stick your hand up so I know you're over there.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to leave on this, though. You said it all. Thank you all for joining us to Talk Straight. Thursday as we come back with more instructive conversation. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. And again, we thank you. And we'll leave on this thought with my good friend Donnie Hathaway.
Yes, sir.
I'm singing this song for you.
I've made some bad. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000.